Let me tell you this. Don't miss right here and right now. I said, don't miss right here and right now. Luke with me to the Word of God today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through verse 16. Very familiar passage. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version today, and it says this. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste or purpose, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence, and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to share with you this morning, under direction of the Holy Spirit, this has been heavy on my heart. It's been weighing in my spirit. I want to share with you on influence. Father, I ask you now, Lord, that you would anoint me this day in a very special way. Anoint me, God, to bring this word, God, that you birthed in my spirit. God, you have burned it in my soul. And I'm asking you, Lord, to let my mouth speak what you want said and how you want it said. For I know and I understand, God, that when your word goes forth, it will not come back void, but it will do what it is sent forth to do. Now let your word go forth as you want it to go. Let it take root in our spirit and in our soul. And Father, I pray that it will help us to rise up and be who you called us to be, and to fulfill your purpose and your plan. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to look over at somebody and say, I'm ready to hear what God is saying. Are you listening? Are you listening? Influence. I want you to let that word sink deep into your spirit this morning. We are to change the world that we live in. Amen. We change it with our influence. So let me state it again. We're to change the world that we live in, and we change it with our influence. Everyone has influence. Whether you believe that or not, whether you feel that or not about yourself, you may feel like nobody sees you, nobody thinks about you, nobody sees anything about you, but every person has influence. And we can let our influence be used in the right way or the wrong way. One writer said it like this. He said, no one dare say, I have no influence. As surely as the sun influences the earth, your life influences many people in unseen ways. He goes on to say, no one dare say, I am not influenced by others. As surely as the moon influences the tide, you are influenced by the people around you and the values that they hold. Pursue the influence of godliness and flee the influence of the world. Now let me say along with that statement this. Stop hanging around the wrong influencers. I want to say that in the very beginning. Stop hanging around the wrong influencers. You may think that you are changing them, but most likely they are changing you. Think about it for a moment. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to hang around with these because maybe my light is shining to them. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time and there's a place that we are to be around people to let our light shine and let our light change who they are. Yes, But sometimes if we're not careful, we will hang around the wrong people, the wrong length of time. And what begins to happen is we don't change them, but they start changing us. And instead of our light going to blind to shine forth to them, their light shines forth in us. And we start drifting away from God, and we start losing our place in Him. We are all influencers. We all influence someone, and we're all influenced by someone. Amen. You have far more influence in your life than what you realize or what you really understand. You influence people every day through your smile. Every time you put a smile on your face, you're influencing somebody. Through your conversation, through your email, through your texting, through your actions, how you carry yourself. You influence people on Facebook, so be careful what you put on Facebook. Stop posting what you don't like on Facebook. I shouldn't have said that. Yes, I should have. You influence people every day of your life. People are watching. People are listening. Influence is like a muscle. What you do with the influence you currently have will determine whether or not your influence grows. So what you do with the influence you have right now in your life determines how your influence will be in future times to come. But can I tell you, it takes courage to let your influence come forth in a godly manner. I said it takes courage to let your influence come forth in a godly manner. You will have to get out of your comfort zone, which means sometimes you got to speak up when you're intimidated. Amen? For your influence to be right, you got to speak up sometime when you are intimidated. You got to serve others even when you don't feel like it. Sometimes God may speak to us to serve somebody, and we may say, well, I really don't feel like it right now. I really don't want to right now. Well, understand what I'm fixing to tell you. It don't matter what you feel like. It don't matter what you want to do. You need to do what God says. Step up in the authority of the Lord. In other words, you have to decide to put your influence to use no matter what. I'm going to share something with you. I shared this a long time ago, but I want to bring it back here this morning. Dr. Evan Kane was the chief surgeon at Kane Summit Hospital in New York City. He had practiced his specialty for 37 years. Over the course of time, he came to question the wisdom of using general anesthesia for every surgery. He believed people would recover quicker if they only had local anesthesia. However, no matter how he convinced, no matter how much he tried to convince others, Dr. Kane, about his theory, he had one problem. No one wanted to go under the knife while they were awake. Everyone he talked to had the same fear. They didn't want to feel the pain of the scaffold while they were awake during the surgery. After much searching, Kane finally found a willing subject. It helped that it was a relatively common procedure. According to Dr. Kane's own records, during his practice, he had performed over 4,000 appendectomies, so the procedure was almost second nature to him. The patient was prepped, brought into the operating room. The local anesthesia was carefully administered. As he had always done, he cut into the right side of the abdomen, entered the body cavity, he tied off the blood vessels, found the appendix, removed it, and finished by sewing the incision back up. To his own credit, he proved himself right. Throughout the surgery, the patient felt very little discomfort. In fact, he was up and around the next afternoon, which was remarkable since this was back in 1921. Back then, when people had appendectomies, they were kept in the hospital for 6 to 8 days. It was a milestone in the world of medicine. However, what made it particularly noteworthy was that the patient and the doctor were the same person. Think about it. Nobody stepped up. Nobody wanted to be a guinea pig, so to speak. So he steps up and he operates upon himself. And here's what it proved. It was not just what he said. It was not just what he was trying to tell people, but it was what he did. It was the influence of his action that proved to others that what he had been trying to share with them would work. Influence is very powerful. Amen. Rarely does someone gain influence with others without earning it. And I'm going to tell you, it will cost you something. You have to earn it. It does not come easy. I recently was reminded of the story of David and how he slew Goliath. We all know the story very well. But let me ask you, do you think that anyone would have paid much attention to David prior to this demonstration of courage? Do you think anybody would have paid any attention prior to this demonstration of composure and reliance upon God? He certainly had admirable qualities about him. But he was not a person of influence. He had admirable qualities, but he was not a person of influence. David was not a talker. David was a doer. He saw a need and an opportunity, and he took action. And when he took action, that's what proved him to be an influencer. That's what caused him to be a great leader. He had to be willing to step up, and he had to be willing to follow God. His courageous action generated influence that would allow him to lead and later allow him to become a king. And I want you to understand something today. We all have the power of influence, but it's all in how we use it. It's all in how we allow God to work and minister through us. Let me ask you this. If we were going to make a list of ways to change the world, who do you think it would start with? If we were going to make a list of ways to change this country, who do you think it would start with? If we were going to make a list of ways to change this state, who do you think it would start with? If we were going to make a list of ways to change this city, who do you think it would start with? People would automatically say, well, let's start with Jesus. And that's a good answer. But let me ask you this. What if Jesus wanted to use someone else to bring about change? What if Jesus wanted to use somebody else to change the world, to change a nation, to change a state, to change a city, to change where we are? What if Jesus wanted to do it differently than what we want to do? What if Jesus wanted to use this church to bring about change? I want everybody to listen to me. What if Jesus wanted to use Valley View Church to bring about change? In Matthew 5:13-16, Jesus tells the people on the hill, and specifically the disciples, he tells them two things. Number one, he said, you are salt. I want you to hear this morning. He said, you are salt. In the Old Testament, God commanded that sacrificial offerings in Israel were to be given with salt. Salt in that day was very precious. It was very necessary. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, put salt on every grain offering, because salt represents the covenant between you and God. And I highlighted this boldly. You must put salt on all your offerings. Why? Because in that day, salt was important. God made a covenant of salt with David. In 2 Chronicles 13:5, do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave rule over Israel forever to David and to his sons by a covenant of salt? A permanent pact extending to each generation of Israel. But what he was saying here was, he's saying, you are salt, which means you are the salt of the earth. When God said you are salt, he was saying you are important. We're still talking about influence here, but hear me. He said, when you say you are salt, you are important. And I believe we're living in a generation now. And I want you to hear this well. Generation after generation of young people are going through life believing they are unimportant. Generation after generation of young people are going through life believing they are unneeded, believing that they are unwanted. How untrue that is. How untrue that is in the eyes of God. But somewhere, somehow, when we get to be adults, those feelings still don't change. We get to be adults, and many people still feel unwanted, unneeded, unnecessary, if you will. But Jesus says that you are important to Him. And I want everybody in this room to hear this. If you are a child of God, whether, let me just put it this way, whether you're saved or whether you're not, you're important to God. I said you're important to God. I said you're important to God. But when you get saved and Jesus Christ comes into your life, you become salt to the world around you. And you become important to the Lord. You're of high value. You have a high quality in the sight of God. Don't you hear what Jesus said? Jesus does not compare us to salt. He said you are salt. He doesn't compare us to it. He tells us we are. Salt was highly valued, and it's still highly valued today. You see, in that day, they couldn't go down to Walmart and get a big bag of salt. They had to work for it. It was something cherished. It was something prized. During a period of the ancient Greek history, it was called theon, which means divine. There's a reason. Listen to me. The Romans held that except for the sun, nothing was more valuable than salt. Think about that. Nothing was more valuable than salt. It was very necessary. Often Roman soldiers were paid in salt. And from the practice, that's where the practice of the expression, a man is not worth his salt, that's where it comes from. Listen to me. When God said you are salt, He was saying you are important. You are necessary. You're needful. But there's another thing God is bringing here. He's saying you are to be pure. Salt helps to purify things. I said salt helps to purify things. And when He said you are salt, He said you are to be pure, which means we're to be pure in our motives, we're to be pure in our actions, we're to be pure in our hopes and in our desire. Jesus Christ is calling each one of us to be pure. For He said in Matthew 5:8, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Let me say it again. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. In God, Christ, we are important. In Christ, we are of high value. Only through Christ Jesus do we become pure. I said, only through Him do we become pure. But now let me take you somewhere. What is the purpose of salt? What does it do? Hope, salt brings flavor to food. Amen. It makes food taste much better. And what Jesus was saying to us, as salt flavors food, we must flavor the world. And it is up to you and me to let the world get a taste of Jesus Christ. It is up to you and me to let the world get a taste of the goodness of God. We are the salt of the Lord. And listen, if we truly have something to get excited about, if God's done something very real in our life, and God's done something very powerful in us, it's time for us to get excited. It's time for us to rejoice. It's time for us to let others see the joy of the Lord rising up in us. If we've been saved from our sin and we've been redeemed, it's time to let our faces show what God has done to us. Let me say something real important right here. If the world looks at us and sees us as a bunch of boring Christians, we're not going to impress them much. If the world looks at us and we're continually down and out and depressed and in despair, we're not going to impress them very much. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, act like you've been saved by the grace of God. If God's done something very real and something good in your life, then act like God's done something in your life. Stop walking around with your lip dragging the ground, but put a smile on your face, put joy in your heart, and lift up your hand and your voice before God, and let people know of the goodness of God that has happened in your life. That's just a little foundation I wanted to give you. We must demonstrate to the world what being a Christian is all about. What being Christ-like is all about. Influence. You are salt. When the world looks at us, what do they see? Let's get down to the real meat of it today. When the world looks at us, what do they see? How we handle conflict? Do we become overwhelmed? Do we trust God? Do we do anything at all? Or do we argue? Think about it. What does the world see in us? How we handle victory? Are we bad winners? Or are we good sports? I'm a sports fan. You guys know that. I'm an Alabama fan. You know that. But if Alabama loses, if I show a stinking, rotten attitude because they lose, I ain't helping nobody. Maybe I should have left that one alone. When the world looks at us, what do they see? How do we handle our money? Do we spend every dime we have? Do we trust God to provide for our every need? Do we give to God? Are we making our payments? Say, Pastor, you could have left that one out. When the world sees us, what do they see? How do we handle ourselves when no one is watching? Somebody say, buckle up your seatbelt. How do we handle ourselves when no one's watching? If someone looked at the history on your internet browser, would you have to justify your action? If they saw the shows you watched on TV, would you get embarrassed? Interesting questions, aren't they? And you may say, well, what does that have to do with being salt? It has nothing to do with being salt. Oh, yes, it does. Because Jesus said in verse 13, but if the salt has lost its taste or its purpose, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and to walk on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery. What's he trying to tell us? When we lose our saltiness, we lose our influence. I said when we lose our saltiness, we lose our influence. Now let's go a little further. How do we lose our saltiness? When we compromise. This is not popular preaching, but I'm going to give you what God gave me today. How do we lose our saltiness? When we compromise. When we don't stand up for what we believe. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day and an hour when not many people are doing that anymore. They're afraid to stand up for what they believe because they're afraid somebody's going to make fun of them. They're afraid people's going to laugh at them. They're afraid people's going to look at them funny. Let me just stop and tell you, God is looking for men, women, boys, and girls that will stand up for what they believe in and stand up for Him and stand up for what is right. And God help us if we don't. How do we lose our saltiness? When we fail to share Jesus. If you're ashamed to share Jesus, you lost your saltiness. How do we lose our saltiness? When we see someone who's hurting and we look the other way. Angie, that man will never be the same because you stopped by a car window and you prayed for it and it didn't look the other way. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose my saltiness. I want to stand up in this world and I want to make an impact on the world around me. I want to be an element of change. I said, I want to be an element of change. We are to change the world that we live in. Stop waiting on somebody else to change the world. Stop waiting on the government to change the world. Stop waiting on society to change the world. We are to change the world that we live in. Imagine dying tomorrow and having your funeral. Listen. Everyone says nice things about you at your funeral, but the truth is you didn't change the world you lived in. Everybody says good things about you at your funeral, but you didn't change the world you lived in. How sad it would be for us to just die a nice person. How troubling that would be. just to die a nice person, but never change the world we live in. Never change the way the things around us. Jesus says one more thing. He said you're the salt of the earth, but then he went on to say, you are light. Oh, I hope you're listening to me this morning. You are the salt of the earth. You're an influencer. He said, but you are light. Jesus understands the darkness we live in. He's not way out there somewhere and does not understand where we are. He knows where we're living. He understands the darkness of our society. He understands the darkness of our day. Paul describes our battle in terms as this. He tells us in Ephesians that our battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle that you and I are fighting has something to do with spiritual. Let me just put it this way. It is a spiritual battle that we are fighting in this last day. It is not flesh and blood. If it was flesh and blood, some of you might have a sporting chance. But we're fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the only way you win that kind of battle is if you get stronger in the Lord and your spirit man and the Spirit of God rises up in you and brings victory into your life. One small candle will impact the darkness. You can take the darkest of room and find the smallest little candle and light it, and it will light up the darkness in that room. Somebody hear this preacher. It may be one person standing up. It may be one person inviting someone to church. It may be one person being dedicated, completely dedicated to God, that's going to make all the difference. It may just be one person who's willing to stand in the gap that will make all the difference. I know you've heard the story before, but about the little boy standing at the seashore, and he's got a pile of starfish laying here, and he's throwing them in one at a time. And somebody walks by and says, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing in. I'm saving the starfish. They said, well, it's not doing any good. He said, well, it made a difference for that one. You understand what I'm telling you? It may just be one person. It may be one person at a time. It may be one simple thing. Something, it might just be one that God has sent you to make a difference for. It might just be one that God has sent you to make a change for. Listen, the purpose of light is what? To shine. That's not rocket science. The purpose of light is to shine. And God called you and I to be a light. You don't light a candle and turn on a lamp and put a bowl on top of it. You let it shine to do what it's meant to do. And listen, when I'm walking in darkness and I got a flashlight and I turn it on, I don't put my hand over it, because if I put my hand over it, it's worthless. It does not mean anything. We have to let our light shine before those around us. Now somebody hear me. When we hide our light, when we hide our light, we become displeasing to God. How do you hide your light, Pastor? We hide our light by being quiet when we ought to speak up. Let's get a little deeper here. We hide our light when we're quiet, when we ought to speak up, and we ought to be the mouthpiece for God. But because we're afraid or we're intimidated, we hush up and we get quiet. God help us to get over our intimidations. God help us to get over our fear. And God, when you speak to us, we'll open up our mouth and we'll declare, thus saith the word of God, that the word of God might change those that it comes in contact with. We hide our light by going along with the crowd when we ought to stand out. Amen. Amen. Anybody can fit in. Anybody can look like everybody else. But it takes somebody to stand out. It takes somebody to stand up. And I want to talk to this church this morning. God didn't mean for you to fit in with the world. God didn't mean for you to match in with the world. God meant for you to stand up and stand out and shine for the glory of God. And I'm calling every child of God in the name of Jesus Christ, shine, shine, shine for the glory of God. We hide our light by denying the truth when we ought to proclaim it. Let me just tell you, How else is the world going to hear the truth unless we tell them? CNN ain't going to tell them. MSNBC ain't going to tell them. Fox News ain't going to tell them. How is the world going to heal the truth unless we tell them, unless we declare it? I'm going to get a little personal for a minute. Stop waiting on me to declare the truth to everybody. I can't reach everybody. I can't walk in every circle that you walk in. But if you declare the truth wherever you find yourself, if it's on the job, if it's in the schoolyard, wherever it is, declare the truth of God, and it will change the world around you. So many people are waiting on the pastor or the evangelist to do it. We're not omnipresent. We can't be everywhere. But we can all be somewhere. I hope you're listening to me this morning. I said, we can all be somewhere. Let me just stop and tell you, get in your somewhere and shine for God. I said, get in your somewhere and shine for God. I said, get in your somewhere and shine for God. How do we hide our light? By letting sin dim our witness. Don't you think you're going to let a little sin come in and it is not going to dim your light? Oh, yes, it will. I told you, I know it's not popular preaching, but you better listen to me this morning. Don't you think you're going to let just a little sin come in and it's not going to dim your light? It will destroy your light. How do we hide our light? By not explaining the truth to others. By ignoring needs of others. Let me just stop and warn you something. When you let your light shine, don't you think for a moment the world's just going to accept it and receive it. We get saved, we get on fire for God, we get excited about Jesus, and we want to go tell everybody about Jesus. We want to let our light shine before the world. But let me just stop and tell you, the world sees light as intrusive. The world sees your light as intrusive. They're not as excited about it as you are. So let me stop and tell you, if you get excited about telling somebody about Jesus, and they shut you off, they turn you off, they turn you down, let me tell you, don't let it depress you. Don't let it get the best of you. You just keep smiling, and you keep shining, and you keep preaching, and you keep talking, and you keep sharing. Don't let the depressing part of the world push you down, but shine. Listen, darkness in the Bible is used to describe the world. Jesus is described as the light of the world. Amen. Listen, the devil does not like the light. He will do anything he can to keep your light from shining. He'll remind you of your past. He'll remind you of your sin. He'll bring back to your mind your failures, your struggles, and your disappointments. He'll remind you of everything you ever did wrong in your life to keep your light from shining. He's great at being a liar.
Let me tell you. Next time the devil tries to remind you of your past or what you used to be, what you need to do is you need to stop the devil.
Yes, devil, that's who I used to be. But no, devil, that's not who I am anymore. Yes, devil, that's what I used to do. But no, devil, that's not what I do anymore. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of God, and I have changed. Amen. Listen, the victories of the enemy are always in the past, but the victories of Jesus Christ are in the present. The victories of Jesus Christ are in the future. The devil will try to talk you into putting your light under a bowl. He'll tell you, oh, it's just a little sin. He'll tell you it's not going to affect anybody. He'll tell you, just go ahead and do it. It's not going to hurt anything. But it's in that moment you have to make a choice. Am I going to let my light shine, or am I going to listen to the devil? I'm talking to somebody in this room. The devil's been trying you lately. He's been pushing you lately. He's been doing his very best to pull you into certain things in your life that you don't know you need to. You know you don't need to be involved in. You know you don't need to be there. You know it doesn't need to be a part of who you are. Well, God sent me by to tell you, it is time for you to make up your mind. Are you going to shine for the glory of God? Are you going to listen to the lies of hell and fall into the devices of the enemy? My prayer is this morning that you will rise up and be the man, woman, boy, or girl that God calls you to be, and you'll shine for His glory. We are to change the world we live in. If you let your light shine, it's going to fill the whole house. It'll bring those in darkness into light. It'll help those in darkness begin to see the joy of the Lord, and they can experience for them. You remember I asked you a question earlier, and it was this. If Jesus were to use somebody to change the school, the world around us, who would he use? If Jesus were to use somebody to change the world, the country, the state, our city, who would he use? Jesus never asked that question. He simply told his disciples they were salt and light. He didn't ask them that. He told them who they were. The answer to the question this morning is you and me and every person who will be devoted to Jesus Christ. But he's not asking us to be used. He's telling us we're salt and we're light. He's telling us who we are. He's speaking in us exactly who we are. Listen, Jesus is the solution to the sin problem. But how are people going to know unless we tell them? How will they hear unless they're spoken to? How will they know God cares for them unless we show them God cares? In Jude chapter 1 verse 22, you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Listen to this, and I want you to hear it very closely. The best witness a person in the world can see is you. The best witness a person in the world can see is you. The greatest witness people in the world will know is you. It's about being salt in a world that needs flavor. It's about being light in a world of darkness and a world that is without hope. And you are an expression of that hope. You are an expression of the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Am I speaking to anybody in this room today? Am I talking to anybody in this house? Am I talking to anybody online? Are you being light in a dark world? Are you being salt? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ? The only way the world is going to change. The only way this country is going to change. The only way this city is going to change is when we change. Nothing's going to change until we change. I'm going to talk to me for a minute, but at the same time, I'm going to talk to you. I am eternally accountable for how I use the influence God gave me in this life. I didn't say now. I said, I am eternally accountable for how I use the influence God gave me in this life. I'm going to say that one more time. That needs to sink in. I am eternally accountable for how I use the influence God gave me in this life. That weighs heavy, and you better think about it. What I do with my influence in this temporary world matters forever. I told you it's been burning in me. How I use my influence in this temporary world matters forever. Here's where I want to get to, and I'm closing. The question God will ask every human being in his judgment is this. What did you do with my son, Jesus? Think about it. He's going to ask everyone in judgment. What'd you do with my son? What'd you do with Jesus? But the question he's going to ask everyone who is a member of his family. The question he's going to ask you and me. Are you listening? Listening? The question he's going to ask you and me. What'd you do with the time? What'd you do with the resources? What'd you do with the influence I gave you? What'd you do with the time? What'd you do with the resources? What'd you do with the influence that I gave you? Be salt. Be light. Be the necessary change. Quit waiting for the change. Be the change. Quit waiting for a change to come.